Father, in the name of your Son, Jesus, I just thank you right now. I thank you for your presence. I thank you that these are your children. I thank you that you love them so much. I thank you, Father, that they are so precious to you. Yes, Father, that you did give your only begotten Son, that they can call upon you any time and have you come into their lives in such a powerful way that it will be changed. I thank you, Lord, that you protect them. Yes, Lord. Even during the times when they don't even call upon you because you're their God and their Savior. I thank you, Lord, that the benefits that they have received from you will be more than they could ever count or measure. More than they could ever hold in one of their mind, Father. Thank you, Father, for your great love. I ask that you bless them today with what you want them to have, not what I want them to have, but what you want them to have. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Praise the Lord. I want to thank all you also that pray for me and my wife and my son as we are going on this journey. You know, the devil does rear his head quite often to try to stop things. When you take a step out there, any of you that minister know what I'm talking about. You go out there and you sacrifice, but you also get, persecuted, you know. And sometimes the persecutions come from the spiritual realm, and sometimes they come from the fleshly realm. Sometimes people just don't like you. You know what I mean? And they come at you in that realm to let you know they don't like you and things like that. But the prayers that you pray, you know, and you got to remember, some of you don't know this, but a few years ago, 2 years ago, I died. And in doing that, like I had a choice, you know, and doing that, I got to go to heaven and be with the Father and Jesus. And I did see the prayers of people praying for me and others passing me by. So I know that the prayers work, and I know exactly where they go, and I know how important they are. So when I say that, I don't say it lightly. Within myself, I know that when you pray for me, that God is answering those prayers with himself. Ain't that good news, you guys? That's very good news. This morning, I get to share with you a gift, and I believe any time that I get up before a body, that is God saying, this is the gift I want to give them. And so I concentrate on really trying to be very focused on what he's going to do. I really try to do that. And I'm constantly in communication with him, even though I'm talking to you. But that's not just me. Anybody that gets up and ministers for the Lord, ain't that right, Michael? They're constantly in communication with the Lord as they're talking to someone because they want to make sure that they're saying what God wants them to say. Right. Because we can, as my son says, you know, we have that flesh, and the flesh may want to tell you something else. Okay? But when the flesh tells you something, it doesn't edify you. It doesn't build you up. It doesn't give you life. But when the Spirit of God says something, you ain't got a choice but to grow. Ain't that right, Tammy? Right. Praise God. So I'm in constant communication as I'm standing up here saying, okay, Lord, is this what you want me to say? Is this what you want me to say? Because I write it out, and I say, okay, I put it all down on paper. But this morning I've been really, probably more than ever, really going through my head, okay, God, I put it down on paper, but I'm going to be really in, and you tell me what you exactly, because you know them more than I do. You know they're your children. You love them so much, okay? So I say that because the title of this is Rejoice in the Lord Always, and again I say rejoice. Whoa. That already goes to a lot of you. You probably say, okay now, that's something that sounds good. I would love to do it, Dean, but I ain't rejoicing always. I ain't got a lot to rejoice about. Now, maybe in church every once in a while I'll rejoice, but when I'm leaving this place and Monday morning starts and I have to go to work, I ain't rejoicing. You know what I'm talking about. Some of you are waking up in the morning saying, this is not a day to rejoice. But the Father said, this is a day that he has made. Ain't that what he said? And he said that we are to what? Rejoice in that day. You know what? This is a news flash for some of you. God doesn't make bad days. Did you hear me? Now, I might get excited about you guys about things like that. Because I know how big that really is, Pat. Yeah. You know, God doesn't make a bad day. Right. And we get the pleasure of waking up in that day that he has made for us, and it's not a bad day. That's Doesn't mean there's situations that don't come up against us. Doesn't mean that we don't hear bad news every once in a while. But God doesn't make a bad day. Do you hear what I just said? Amen. So we can rejoice in the Lord. Yes. Praise God. Amen. You know, if you go to that scripture, it's found in Philippians. You can turn there. Philippians, the 4th chapter. I'm going to read it to you. Then I'm also going to read 1 Thessalonians 5:14. Because I like both of these verses. And I go with this today. Philippians 4 says this. The 4th chapter, 4th verse. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say rejoice. I'm reading out of the NET. Let everyone see your gentleness. The Lord is near. Whoa. He is near, you guys. Nearer than you want to admit. Nearer than the world wants to say he is. He is near. Do not be anxious about anything. Instead, in every situation, through prayer and petitions, with thanksgiving, tell your request to God. And the peace of God that surpasses all understanding will guard your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. 1 Thessalonians 5:14 says this. And we urge you, brothers and sisters, admonish the undisciplined, comfort the discouraged, help the weak, be patient toward all. See that no one pays back evil for evil to anyone, but always pursue what is good for one another and for all. Always rejoice. Constantly pray. In everything, give thanks. For this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Do not extinguish the Spirit. Do not treat prophecy with contempt. But examine all things. Hold fast to what is good. Stay away from every form of evil. See, to be able to rejoice in the Lord, there's certain things that you're going to have to do. Some of you know what to do and some of you do not know what to do. But there's something you have to do to be able to rejoice in the Lord. If you don't have a basis, you won't rejoice. The situations of this world, the situation of this place will get you down and you won't have the ability to rejoice in the Lord. Because when you rejoice in the Lord, the scripture says the peace of God that surpasses all understanding will guard your heart and your mind. Some of you need your heart and your mind guarded. Am I correct? Who doesn't need it? Now, I can tell you who doesn't need it. I've been there. I'm telling you the truth. I've been there. When I was in heaven, I didn't need my heart and my mind guarded. It was taken care of. Do you hear what I'm just saying? But as long as you're on this planet, as long as you're breathing this air that our Father has given you, you're going to need your heart and your mind protected. And he's saying he'll do it. That's what he said, he'll do it. But he's saying to you, you have to rejoice in the Lord. And again, rejoice. Now, like I said earlier, many of you know that I had an experience. I want to say once in a lifetime, but I hope not. I hope it's not a once in a lifetime experience. I want to make that trip again, but I ain't coming back. I'm telling you that right now. And if I had my choice, I wouldn't have came back the first time. But I had this experience, and in this experience, I got to be before the Lord, before Jesus Christ. And he downloaded a whole bunch of stuff inside of me. And one of the things that he downloaded was he gave me these 8 things that signal the end of the age. And I've talked about them before here, you know, and I see that going on all the time. I see the things that God has downloaded inside of me about these 8 things happening in our world daily. And they're getting more prominent as time goes on. So, but there's 2 of them that I really want to emphasize tonight in this rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. The first one is that which is evil will look good even to the sons and daughters of God. The sons and daughters of God will grow in prayer in that time. And new eyes will open, spiritual eyes. They will see from the heart. Now, this is very scriptural. God is always telling you to pray, you know, without ceasing. And he's telling you to pray from your heart. So there's no difference here. But he's saying here, or he was saying to me, the only way you're going to be able to see what is good and evil is to spend time with your Father in prayer. Do you guys hear what I just said? Many of you think it's a very minor thing and that you're just going to automatically know. But deception is going to grow so much in this world that even that which looks good to you will be evil. And the only way you're going to know the difference is that you spent time with the only one that's good. Ain't Jesus say that? He said only the Father is good. If you don't spend time with the Father, if you don't spend time with the one that's good, how are you going to know what is good? Now, if you spend time with your flesh, that one that Gabriel said you got to throw out the second story window, he's going to tell you some things are good. But I guarantee you those things that he tell you are good, they're not life. They're not life. Visual deception will increase in all areas of the world. Our children will be going through this. Oh, do you guys hear what I just said? You know, you can, when I was with those boys and I was sharing with them my experience of being where the Father and Jesus is in heaven, and I was telling them things, many times I could say something, and because of the quickness of this learning that they have in this world, they could literally describe back to me better than what I told them. They could describe it much more. I remember this kid said, oh, you mean da-da-da-da-da-da-da. I said, yeah, that's right. He was right. Well, he was maybe between 8 or 9 years old, but he could describe. Because they are so much into this electronic stuff. You understand what I'm talking about? That us that don't want to fool with it get lost. Now, how many of us got a cell phone just like I do? We know how to what? We know how to turn it on. We know how to answer it. We know how to turn it on. We know how to answer it. We know how to turn it on and we know how to answer it. Ain't that right? But our kids, they know how to turn it on. They know how to switch this tone in there. They know how to put that in there. They know how to play a game in there. Ain't that right, Scott? Because sometimes when you get a hold of a phone, I've been around this little boy right here. When he get a hold of a phone, he'll change it on you. And before you know it, you think the tune is coming in like it usually come in, and you got some tune. No. And you're trying to figure out what happened here. You understand what I mean? And you're at the mercy of the kid. You're at the mercy of the kid. You know? But they're so much into that. They know it so greatly. They know how to do it. So they, right now, are probably being what bombarded with visual deception more than you'll ever understand. It's coming so fast to them, and they're grabbing it faster than you guys and I can even filter it out. I heard they have a new cell phone. The one that checks where your kid is all the time. You guys hear about it? Some of your parents need to know about this, don't you? They got a phone where now you can put it in there. And I know, Scott, this is bad news for you. But you'll figure out how to get around it because they always do. But they got a phone now that if your kid gets out of the area that you sent them to, like they're supposed to go to the mall, and when they start leaving the mall, guess what you got to do? Oh, you're leaving the mall. Where are you going? Now, I used to work for the court system. We call that home monitoring. We put the bracelet around your ankle, and when the kid would leave the home, we'd say, where are you going? You know what I mean? Oh, that's something else, ain't it? But visual deception has increased in the world. Because cell phones are everywhere. When I was down in Peru, they may not have landlines, but they have cell phones. When I was in Ghana, they had cell phones. When I was in Trinidad, they had cell phones. You guys hear what I'm saying? So that stuff has increased around the world. There is not that big barrier like we used to have, because you can go almost anywhere and that cell phone's going to work. You know, some places it don't, even here in the United States, but most places it does. But there was something I want to say, guys, that really got me about this when Jesus downloaded that stuff inside of me. Was this. He's given his word because there is a battle going on. And that battle that is going on is for life and death. Life and death. You have to choose. I have to choose which side I'm going to be on. And I can't be on both sides. Scripture says in Revelation, the 3rd chapter, talking about the Laodicea church, he said, those people that are on both sides are called lukewarm. This is what Jesus said. And he said this. And when he said it, it's a promise. It's not one of those, you may do it, you might do it, it could happen. He said, if you're lukewarm, if you got both feet on both sides, trying to live both lives, one in the death and one in life, he's going to vomit you out of his mouth. And guess what side you're going to end up on? Because vomit always ends up on the dead side. I know some of your Bible says spew. The word spew means vomit. Okay? Some of you probably say, man, I need to be vomiting right now then. Because you're trying to live in both worlds and you can't. It is a battle between life and death going on right now. When I was there, Jesus was strategizing. Someday I pray that God would really have me to really get into this strategize that I saw Jesus. It was phenomenal. It was something I marvel over all the time because I didn't think Jesus would be doing that when I got there. That's my thinking. I thought he would just be sitting there right next to the Father and pointing at people to do things. Do you guys hear what I'm saying? I thought, oh yeah, that would, but when I got there, I remember getting there and looking up and this half crescent of circle of beings was around him and he was looking at him and I was wondering at first what he was doing and then I realized he was strategizing. And I come back and I tell people, and many of you have heard it before, what was he strategizing about? To get people to know him as Lord and Savior. He has not stopped. And you can go through the Bibles. You can go through the Bible and you can find over and over and over places where Jesus is appearing. Or he has a heavenly intervention appear. And many of your lives, you would not be here if it wasn't for Jesus strategizing to get you here. Because you weren't doing it. Am I correct, you guys? You know, the Father strategized from the beginning of time. In the 3rd chapter of Genesis, he says to the devil, there's going to come a day when someone's going to come and bruise you on the head with their feet, prophesying about Jesus Christ. He strategized from that time. And then there came that day that he said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. So Billy Joel, Haman, could come to know him as Lord and Savior. Whoa, ain't that good news? Because Billy Joel wasn't doing anything to get there. You understand what I'm saying? But he was strategizing. He's still working to get people to know him as Lord and Savior. He's looking for people on this earth to work with him to get people to know him as Lord and Savior. Did you know that? See, the strategizing isn't going with the heavenly beings up there because they're obedient. They're doing exactly what he says. It's the ones down here that he's looking for. He's looking for us. He's looking at someone down here he can count on, Paul. You hear what I'm saying? So that he can send that person to witness to somebody else. I was listening to a man last night. Me and Marilyn went over and ate at one of the pastor's houses that we've gone and ministered at their church. And he was telling me about how the Holy Spirit stopped him over there on the peninsula, over there by Gig Harbor, and told him to go tell the Native Americans a message, the Indians a message. First of all, he said, I don't know where any Native Americans are, God. And number two, how do I find them? He said, well, I'll show you. He said, well, how do I find them? Ain't that what we do? We question God. And God said, I'll show you. Go into this hardware store. He goes in the hardware store. He talks to the man, comes up to the counter, and he talks to him. And he tells him, I'm here because I have a message for the Native Americans or the Indian tribe in this area. And he said, well, really? He said, yeah. And he told him what the message was. And the guy said, well, I'm one of the chiefs here. I'll tell you exactly where to go. God is looking for someone to be able to be sent all the time. All the time. Not some of the time, but all the time. We're at war. John, 1 John 3:8 says this, the devil, well, Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil. Did you guys know that? Now, that means there has to be some violence in that, ain't there? You're destroying something. If I was to destroy this podium right now, wouldn't it crack up art? Wouldn't there be some, when you say violence, some of you would say, that man's violent up there. Look at him. He's destroying that podium. Am I correct? There's a war going on. There's a fight going on between good and evil. That war is not just here on this earth, but that war is also in the universe. It's a universal war. You know how we had World War I, World War II? We're trying to stay away from World War III. You guys hear what I'm saying? That's just our world. There is a universal war going on. It has been going on since the day Adam said, no, I will do what Satan wants me to do and not what God wants me to do. And we're in it. Do you know you're in it? I know some of you say, I don't want to choose. I don't want to be a part of it. You don't have a choice. You're in it. You're in the middle of it. The battle is life and death. Guess whose life? Guess whose life? You hear what I'm saying? Now, Jesus is strategizing. And he's looking for someone down here to be able to do his will. We must understand that we're at stake here. Life is at stake. We are at stake. It's us. It's our children, Pat. Cindy, it's our children. This is no game. But you have to receive the information to be able to be in the battle, you guys. You cannot think you're just going to get it by just meditating all day long. Somebody was telling me they were in a church, and the church started to move toward New Age stuff. And they said, oh, let's go grab the rocks so that we can meditate on the Lord. Let's go sit by the ocean so we could hear the sound of the Lord coming on. Now, if anybody's in here and that's what you're doing, I'm sorry I'm hurting your feelings, but that's the way it is. You guys hear what I'm saying? But God has placed a place so that you can receive the information that you need to be able to do the will of God in your life. I hear that all the time. People say, I don't know what my purpose is. God, what is my purpose? Number one purpose is he wants to give you the information first. You guys hear what I'm saying? A lot of times people want the information. they want their purpose before they get the information. You guys met people like that. They go out to do the work without knowing how to do it. Have you guys ever ran into a mechanic that didn't know how to fix a car? Or act like they know how to fix a car, but they never got the education or the knowledge on how to fix a car, and you don't find out until later on when you're driving down and all of a sudden the engine falls out. You guys understand what I'm saying? A lot of times people, now that person might be one that says, yeah, I'm supposed to be a mechanic, I need to be a mechanic, but they don't got the information to be a mechanic. And a lot of times what I hear people say a lot of times is, I know my purpose, I'm going to go out and do that, I'm going to do it, but they don't stay around for the information. The other thing I hear a lot of times, you guys, and this is probably the one that bothers me the most, is I hear of all the mess people are going through as born-again believers. How much trouble they're having in life. And I know you're saying, you know, life is there and it happens. It does happen. But they get washed down the drain with it. They get flushed into the sewer. You know? They go through the ringer. And they don't have to go through the ringer. You know, I was a counselor for 33 years, a drug and alcohol counselor, over there in King County. And I, you know, worked with a lot of people. I came to know one thing about working with those people. Those that wanted to change would do whatever it took. Oh! They would do whatever it took to change. They didn't come up with the rules on how they should change. They listened to somebody else and they did it. Even if the person wasn't even telling them the right thing. And what I mean by that, they didn't have the right motives or the right attitude. But they wanted to change so much that they fought through that just to change. A good friend of mine, he was a heroin addict for years. He told me about how he went to five treatment programs. Five. You guys hear what I'm saying? Five. One of them was a year. And every one of them, he came out the same. He didn't want to change. Now, he could have gone back to three of them and been a counselor in them. Because he knew everything by that time. He knew exactly what it took to change. But he didn't want to change. He did not want to change. And then one day he decided he wanted to change. And one of the programs said, well, one of the things you have to do, you know, to change, I'm not saying that you need to change, you know, you do need to change. Oh, praise God. One of the things you had to do was this. You have to go through the alleys of Seattle and sweep them early in the morning. Now, if you met my friend today, you would think this is not an alley guy. He's a guy that likes those shiny shoes, sharp pants, looking sharp all the time. You understand what I mean? Dirt and him don't get along. But he wanted to change. And if that's what it took for him to change, he said, Dean, I went down those alleys and I swept them clean. Because he wanted to change. And it didn't matter what it took for him, he was going to change. Did he change? Yes. He's got over so many years. I got to say, I've known him about 2 years after he got clean, so he's got about 25 years clean. He's got 25 years clean. He's not gone back to heroin because he changed. But he wanted to. The same thing is for us here. To be able to rejoice in the Lord always, and again rejoice, we have to change. We have to make a conscious effort to change. Us. I can't change Pastor John. Pastor John can't change me. I know Pat is trying to change Cindy, but it ain't going to work, Pat. Cindy's going to change Cindy. Amen. You hear what I'm saying? You've got to want to change. In the strategy that's going on with Jesus up there, I can tell you this. There are people that are praying for you. I want to say TJ and it ain't. CJ, y'all getting there. There's people that are praying for you. And Jesus is strategizing. How do I get CJ to change? What do I got to bring in his life so that he'll make the changes that he needs? Because your mom, Grace, is praying for you. Your dad, Kenny, is praying for you. And he's up there, literally, because you're that important to him, strategizing on how to bring the right things into your life so that you change and be productive in his kingdom. Good news. Ain't that good news? I know some of you don't think you're that important. I know some of you don't think God is really looking at you and think that you're the most important thing in the world. But guess what? I was there. I saw his love. That's what he looks at you like. You're that important. That he's looking at the prayers of those that are praying for you and he's strategizing. What do I need to do to bring into your life, Ruth, so that you'll change? So that you'll be that productive woman of God that he wants you to be. And your mom and your dad and your brother and your brother and your brother and your sister. You hear what I'm saying? He's doing that. Some of you today don't know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. But it's no accident that you're here. See, I know my Father. I know the Jesus Christ. He strategized to bring you here today. You say, what do you mean? He manipulated me? If you want to call it that, go ahead. But he wants you to know life more than death. He wants you to live forever with him and not go to hell. Now, if that's a bad thing, you tell me that's a bad thing. But you're here for that reason. Don't leave here without knowing him as Lord and Savior. Now you're saying, Dean, where are you going with this? I want to rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I want to rejoice. I want to say he strategized. He strategized in such a way in your life that he placed you in a place. That he literally forms the words that he wants you to hear every week. Do you guys know that? Remember when you first got born again and you went to church and it seemed like the minister was preaching at you all the time? Some of you got mad at your mates because you thought that they went to church and told the pastor what you were doing. Am I right? Well, he ain't stopped. He has not stopped making sure that the word of God that comes through the man of God or the woman of God, whoever is there, is specially for you. Right. Oh, no. Right. See, when we wanted a person to change, to get away from drugs and alcohol, we gave them two choices, usually. One was they could go to inpatient, usually 29 to 60 days to 90 days to a year, 2 years, depending on the program. Or they could go to outpatient. Outpatient meant you come 3 times a week, hour and a half to 2 hours, and we will help you change your thinking around the drugs that you were using. You guys hear what I'm saying? And those that came on a consistent basis, guess what started happening? They started changing their thinking. They started reacting in a different way when people had the drugs and alcohol around them. Didn't mean they didn't fall sometimes. Didn't mean they didn't mess up. But at least they had in their mind a way of thinking of how to get out of the mess. One of the sayings was this, and you guys have heard it before, was we would say it very much. It came out of our field. It was, if you're walking down the street and you keep on falling in the same hole, maybe you need to find a different road to go down. Because many of us think we're smarter than the hole, but we always fall back in it. You guys hear what I'm saying? Well, the Father, in his great wisdom, decided that he would place an institution on this planet so that his children could have a relationship with him called the church. I know it's not the popular thing to talk about the church in a positive way anymore. I hear people talk bad about the church all the time. You hear it, don't you? You guys hear what I'm saying? But do you know you're talking about the Father's church? Right. Now, if you're talking about a building, if you're talking about some people, just say that. Don't say the church. Because he said, I will establish my church, and the what will not prevail against it? The gates of hell. He takes ownership of his church. This body here. This body is a part of his church. Oh. And you know, he's pouring everything he can. Jesus is strategizing. How can I pour everything I can into that body to reach you individually? In the last few months, I went online and got these sermons off. These are the sermons that have come through this body. Forgiveness and communion. Fruit of a renewed mind. Shining God's light. Where is your heart? Part 1. Where is your heart? Part 2. In the Independence Day program, which I heard was a great program. I would sell an independence in Peru in a Chinese restaurant. That's how we celebrated Independence Day in Peru, in a Chinese restaurant. Where is your heart, part three? Where is your heart, part four? Jesus is the righteousness. We had the film about the Muslim that got saved. The importance of the importance for maintenance for your first love, or the importance of maintaining your first love. Are you a hearer or a doer? Are you here or a doer? Part two. End of times, the closeness of his return. How to possess and have dominion. Wednesdays we've had 1 John. We've had communication. A long series on communication. Ain't that right, Pastor John? We've had finances. Ain't that right, Kenny? I know you're up behind that glass. We've had prayer. We've had how to maintenance your Christian life. We've had in Sunday school your thinking, your belief system. All of these are not given to you just because they sound good. Whoa. They're not even put in place because they make it where you want to come. They're given to you because your Father says you need them. But if you're not here, you can't receive them. You know, it's like he prepares a dinner for you guys. He sets the plates. He takes it. And, you know, you think about it. Anyone that's a good host, they take their time. We went last night and the pastor cooked a good meal for us. He's a gourmet cook and he cooked a fancy meal for us. And everything was so beautiful. Put on the table. He put it on the plates. He served it. Well, that's humans. What do you think your Father's doing for you? He literally comes to this place and he sets the table up and you say, well, that's just a man talking. No, 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 no. Trust in your Father. Look past the man. Now, I can vouch for the man. He spends a lot of time on his hands and knees praying in the tongues. Am I correct? You that know him, you know what I'm talking about. You know the sacrifice. You know what Pastor John does. You know what Pastor Shear does. You know what they do. You know what Ted does. You know their heart. Okay? But they have to get their message from the Lord. And their message has to be a message that's going to be given to you personally. He knows exactly what you need. It's like your mom when she used to put those vegetables on your plate. Now, the vegetables I hated the worst was that mixed corn beans and... You know what I mean? The corn and the green beans is in it, and none of it ever tasted. I don't know what it tasted like, but it didn't taste like beans and it didn't taste like corn, and I hated lima beans. But my mom put it on my plate, and she said, you need to eat it, because she knew it was good for me. And your Father comes here every week and sets a table before you to eat. Some of you are going through so many problems because you're not coming here to eat. Are you picking when you want to come here to eat? See, we're so used to this fast food, a restaurant on every corner. Do you guys understand what I'm talking about? That today I don't feel like teriyaki. I'll do what Diesta did. I'll have some McDonald's hamburger. You guys hear what I'm saying? But that's not the way he's serving it to you. He's serving to you because, CJ, Grace and Kenny are praying that you will receive what God wants you to receive. So he's strategizing up there. What do I make sure that is in front of CJ so that he'll eat what he needs to eat to be the man of God that he needs to be? That's what he's doing. June. People are praying for you. Your Father's listening to their prayers. He's literally prepared a banquet down here for you. But if you don't come and eat, then you have those problems. And when I say rejoice in the Lord always, and again rejoice, you're saying there ain't nothing to rejoice about. You haven't come to the dinner table to be strengthened enough. See, Pat, I can guarantee you the problems that you're going to have this week, God's already given you the answers to them. And because you're here, you're going to face something. You're going to say, Dean said something about that. I can go through that. How many of you can bear witness to that? How many of you wish somebody was here right now so they could hear this, because they're in all kinds of problems? And they're missing out on it. We got Sunday mornings. Sunday school. Now we're going to have two classes. Yes, is that for males too? Is that for males too? Oh, that's good news. Men need to lose weight too now. We need to progress too. I used to be a lot slimmer before I met my wife. I couldn't get past 30 pounds, 130 pounds before I met Marilyn. Well, she started cooking that food and man, it just stayed. I can play football now. Well, let's put it this way. I could stand on the sideline and look at people play football now. But we got that going on. We got Sunday school going on. We got children's church going on. Do you know those kids need it? Remember that man? He started that Bible study or that group in his own neighborhood, and all those kids are coming. Whoa, praise God. We got Sunday morning service, and you've heard our pastor said over and over that he prays to try to give you something that will benefit you that what? Week. But if you're not here, you can't get the benefit. And I know this is rubbing some of you the wrong way, and you said you're talking about coming to church. It's his institution. He set it up. Well, I get fed off of TBN. You can go to TBN just like you go down the street, you guys. Not putting down TBN. I don't like McDonald's today. I'll take Burger King. I don't want to. I have the control in my hand. I don't like what he's saying. Boom. Discovery Channel is coming on now. Am I correct? But here, how many of you going to get up and walk out? Now, you may want the service to hurry up and get over with, but you ain't walking out. That means you're going to at least get the meal in front of you. You're going to at least have a chance to chew on it. You're going to at least have a chance to ponder on it. You're going to at least have a chance to go in your scriptures and look and see if he's telling the truth or not. Whoa. Amen. Good. Ain't that good news? Yeah. We're one of the few churches, and I go to many churches now, we're one of the few churches that have this many services. Do you guys understand that? And most of the people I come in contact with, they have the one service, they are starving for the Word of God. Starving. You know? And I mean starving, I mean starving. That's why me and Marilyn sometimes go back two or three times to a place, because they're so starving for the Word of God. But here we have it. I know some of you say, well, I know it all, Dean. I got it down. I don't need to know anything else. 1 Corinthians, the 8th chapter, the 1st through the 3rd verse says this. Now, concerning offerings to idols, we know that we all have knowledge. Knowledge puffs up. But love edifies. And if anyone thinks that he knows anything, he knows nothing yet as he ought to know. You guys, I was down at the feet of Jesus. I was looking at him. I saw things that I can't even describe with words. And I don't know it all. You guys hear what I just said? I come here because I still need to learn. And my wife said, that's right. She's a bearing a witness to that. But you guys hear what I just said? I don't know it all. How could you know it all? Right. And you say, well, I don't believe you, Dean. It doesn't matter whether you believe me or not. You still don't know it all.
That's right. Amen.
You need to come. here and receive what God is wants to give you, it will benefit you. And when you get in that crisis, when you have that crisis and you start to have that little, the Holy Spirit got something to bring back to your remembrance. Do you guys hear what I just said? Many of you out there in crisis right now, you need to be here so often that they need to see your face at that front window when they unlock the door. And the reason for that is because you need help. And the only one that's going to help you is Jesus Christ. And when he does a complete job. You need to be there. But you run away from here. You're running the other direction. And the devil said, keep on running, because that means I got you where I want you. And I can wrap you around and throw you up and down and tell you that suicide is the best way to go. You know, let me tell you something. You want to know something about suicide? I'm going to tell everyone in here. Just in case you're thinking about it, I'm going to tell you right now. If you're going to commit, kill yourself to get out of mess, I'm telling you where you're going is worse. You ain't yet, I'm telling you about, experience what mess is like when you until you get to hell. And you say, how you know you're going to hell? Well, I'm going to say this. I may not know, but I wouldn't take the chance. You want to take the chance? You go ahead. Because Jesus is going to say, but I have to tell you, murder do not enter the kingdom of God. And that is murder. That's all I got to go on. Where did I get that? Well, the Word of God. Where did you hear it? Probably in church sometime. You guys hear me? So that ain't a way out of your crisis. The way out of your crisis is to be here every chance you can. To be in your Word every chance you can. To be praying in tongues or your understanding. Well, Dean, I'm telling you something. I can do the first one. I can come to church because that means I got something. But that reading the Word, well, Pastor handed out this morning something that you can quote on yourself every day. It says, I am, and read the Scripture with it. And is that all you're doing? I'll be honest with you, you'll be stronger than most people when you get done with it. Tell you that right now. Well, Paula and them come to church an hour every day before service and they pray. You can come to that. You can come to that. You come here four times a week. Whether how many times you youth come? How many times you guys come? Ted has you go doing, I know, the Friday night thing over you guys' house. You come on Wednesdays for the leadership. You have Sunday evenings, and then most of them are in here. That's a lot too, ain't it? Praise God. You mean we got all that going on here, Pastor? I should be able to see you guys every time. See, I go out and minister. But when me and my wife are in town, we come here. We don't. Sometimes, you guys, we've done this. We've done church Friday, Saturday, and Sunday morning, and we'll be here Sunday evening. Now, you think I maybe had enough church? I mean, if I'm counting it, if I'm going to count it, I'm Billy Joe. If I'm going to count it, 1, 2, 3. Oh, God, I met my quota for the week. I met it. Ain't that right, Karen? I met my quota. No. Because I know that when I come here, my Father has a meal for me. For me. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. I can guarantee this to you, not because it's me, because it's my Father. If you start coming here to receive what God has prepared for you, you will rejoice. You will get excited about the songs that we sing. Because it won't be the music, it'll be the words. Ain't that right, Michael? It'll be the words. You know? Do whatever it takes to be all that God has called you to be. I remember Jonathan, your friend, got born again just recently, you know, and he's doing whatever it takes to be all that God wants him to be. Remember when you guys, your first love? Ain't that right, Ruth? When you first got born again, nobody could keep you out of church, huh? Oh, your parents are laughing, so that must be a lie. But you hear what I'm saying, you guys. You know what I mean. I've heard testimony after testimony after testimony. When a person got born again, I don't care who it is, they just got into this and they just started reading it. What happened to that? What happened, John? I'm not saying that you don't do it, John. I'm just asking. What happened, Curtis? What happened? You guys hear what I'm saying? What happened, Gabriel? I have to say my son's name, too. You guys know I ain't picking on people. Think about it. Do whatever it takes to be a part of that strategy that God has called you to be a part of. Because there's people that are praying so hard for you to receive everything that you need. And He's preparing a meal for you that no one else can prepare. You that are brokenhearted, come. You that are thirsty, come. You that are hungry, come. You know how Diestas got that 13 weeks? You got that 13 weeks, ain't that? If you can commit to 13 weeks of coming to every service that you can come to, what do you think would happen to you? You know how many demons will be running out of your way? You know that flesh that you're throwing out the second story window? It will stay down there. You guys hear what I said? We have it here. God has provided for us. You don't have to go to TBN, and you don't have to go to Daystar or Angel and all those other stages. You can come right here. I guarantee you God is providing a meal just for you here. He has prepared the food for you to live and not die. Whoa. Father, in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, I thank you for this message. It's your message. You're the one that... Yes, I know. You're the one that wanted it to be brought out this way. I thank you, Father, that these are your children and you love them so much. I thank you, Lord, that they're so important to you that you literally provide a meal for them through this body every time the doors are open. Personally, you prepare it. Personally, you put it on the plate. Personally, you put all the ingredients in it that they need. Personally, you make sure that there's nothing that would bar them from receiving what you want them to receive. And you give them the strength to open their mouths, to open their hearts, to open their ears to hear what you want them to hear. Father, I thank you that you love us that much. And we're so important to you that you would take your energy, your pureness, your holiness, to make sure that we would receive what you want us to receive. Father, I thank you in the name of your precious Son that you gave for us so that we could have a relationship with you. I thank you for that. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
All right, then I'm going to go ahead and pray a prayer of dismissal, and then Dean and Marin will be up here. If you want prayer, you can come on up. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you, Lord, for the food you've given us. And Father, we know that during this week, Father, it'll be something that we can rely on and work with and use, Lord Jesus. So I just pray protection upon each one as they go their way. In Jesus' name, amen.